in the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Amen. This afternoon, rather, we're speaking on the subject, great is thy faithfulness.
Great.
Every step of the way.
Every step of the way.
Prophet Jeremiah is the author of the book of Lamentations, but in order to have a better understanding of what we read, we should know who wrote it.
Yes,
and why. I have been teaching in Bible studies and in Sunday school that when we read something, we should understand the context in which it was written. Amen.
Yeah.
That way we don't misinterpret scripture and twist it to meet the needs of our right now situation.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Jeremiah was the son of a little Levitical priest.
Yeah.
He was likely born between 650 and 645 B.C.
Yeah.
He was from a small village about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem in the territory of Benjamin.
Yeah.
It was thought that Jeremiah's childhood training for holy service in the priesthood, God began grooming him for his future role.
Hallelujah.
In the 13th year of King Josiah, around 627, God called Jeremiah when he was still a youth.
Yes.
We're just talking about Jeremiah. Amen. In fact, God had already set Jeremiah apart for the office of a prophet before he was even born.
Yes.
In order to take God's words to Israel and to all nations. God gave Jeremiah the overview of his prophetic ministry. He told him, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then to build and to plant."
Yeah.
See, did you get that? In order to build and plant, you have to root out. You have to pull down some stuff. You have to destroy some things, and you've got to throw down. Amen?
Yeah.
Then you can build and plant.
Yeah.
This meant that God had appointed Jeremiah to proclaim the destruction and building of nations that would eventually lead to the kingdom of God. So when Jeremiah speaks, we should listen. Amen?
Yeah.
But if you come on over here. Great is thy faithfulness.
Yeah.
This year, 2017, has ended.
Yes, it has.
And now we find ourselves in the beginning of the first 365 pieces of 2018.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. We get 365 brand new days.
Yeah.
All of them contain something unknown.
Yeah.
Some of them will hold joy, others will reveal pain and
sorrow.
And how will we maneuver successfully through such a long and hidden trail?
Yeah.
Jeremiah points out in the passage today that God will be faithful every step of the way.
Yeah.
Every day when you rise, God will already be taking care of you. Amen?
Yeah.
His grace is enough.
Yeah.
His strength is enough.
Yeah.
And his love is enough.
Yeah.
And it should be, our love and our relationship should be just a daily thing. It should just make sense when you wake up in the morning because you didn't have to. Amen. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you should do is thank God for another day. Whatever 2018 brings, our Father will be with us every step of the way. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm used to my amen corner over here.
Come on,
I'm looking and it's empty, but it's all right. I'm going to preach to the angels. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to shout at you today, and I won't be before you long, so you just going to have to get it. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Let's walk around this text together. We're talking about three things. Verses 21 is a desperate reality. In verses 22 and 23, we're talking about a decision to rely. And then through verses 24 and 25, we're talking about a declaration of reliability.
Yes, yes.
Let's look at what Jeremiah latched on to when his world was falling apart.
Yes.
Verse 21 is the hinge on which this book and Jeremiah's life turns. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Unbelief causes us to look at our God through troublesome circumstances.
Yes, yes.
While Jeremiah's outward affliction and inward turmoil, it pushed him to a place of despair.
Yes.
Are you with me? Jeremiah forces himself to bring truth to the forefront of his mind.
Yes.
See, when you get into an ugly situation,
you've
got to force yourself to bring truth to the forefront of your mind, or you will wallow in your situation.
Come on. Hallelujah.
A computer defaults to certain settings.
Yeah.
I'm talking about stuff I don't know, and I know my sound guy is looking at me. But your phone, your iPhone, has a setting on it that says, would you like to default to the factory settings?
Yeah.
And if you say yes, it says, are you sure?
Are you sure?
Sometimes we have to reboot to our factory settings.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
If we don't reconfigure our minds, we will slide down a slippery slope of discouragement and depression.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. If Jeremiah focused on the things that were filling his mind, the things and circumstances around us, he was going to just be bummed out.
Come on now.
Am I right? If you look around at your circumstances and your situations, sometimes you will just be bummed out.
Come on, come on.
Jeremiah focused on those things that were filling his mind, the things and circumstances around us. He was bummed out.
Yeah.
But verse 19 and 20, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall.
Yeah.
I will remember him, and my soul is downcast within me. In order to break out of the pattern of the cycle of despair, Jeremiah needed to be vigilant about what he allowed himself to think about what he allowed himself to think about. See, we're so quick to blame the devil, but we allow ourselves certain temptations. Am I right? We allow ourselves into certain places that we know we ought not to go. We allow our mind to wander into certain areas where we know we don't have no business to wander, and then we say it was temptation. But actually, we walk in the door.
Hallelujah.
You have to be vigilant about what you allow yourself to be subjected to. That same lesson applies to us that Jeremiah was talking about.
Yeah.
See, the Bible is relevant.
Yeah.
Old Testament and the New.
Yeah.
Everything in it is for us right now.
Right now.
Right now. Right now.
Right now. Right.
Sometimes we need to call things to our memory.
Yeah.
And think about what is true.
Yeah.
Verse 21, he declares, yet this I call to mind, friends, beloved. What Jeremiah was saying was something that we need to do as well. We need to engage our will. We need to be purposefully and deliberately focused on the good thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other than our problems. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Force yourself to remember truth.
Yeah.
Force yourself to remember truth.
Yeah.
Force yourself to remember truth.
Yeah.
Remember a time when God demonstrated his grace and his mercy toward you.
Yeah.
See, we want to have a woe is me attitude instead of a why.
Come on.
Why not me?
Why not?
Jesus suffered. Yeah. So who are we not to suffer? Amen.
Come on, talk to us.
Put God's faithfulness to the front of your mind, even when you don't feel like doing it. Because it's easier to be depressed than it is to be joyful in a trying situation. Amen. It's easy to curl up in your house and pull your hood up and curl up into a ball and feel sorry for yourself than it is to put on your shoes, get dressed, and walk into the house even in the midst of persecution. To be able to walk up into the house when you know they're talking about you, that takes some effort. Amen. God will begin to restore hope to your life when you do this. He'll bring love back into your marriage. He'll bring respect back into your home. By crowding out hopelessness that threatens to shipwreck your life. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. Come on, great is the Lord's faithfulness. Second point, a decision to rely in verses 22 and 23. The mood of despair was displaced by a beautiful affirmation of hope by what Jeremiah called to the forefront of his thoughts. Now, what did he call to mind? What did he focus on while he was hurting?
Come on.
See, sometimes we focus on stuff. We hurt and we focus on how hurt we are.
Come on,
we focus on who did what and who said what, and I thought you would never, do that to me. But the Bible tells you not to put your confidence in man. Amen. Because man will fail you. Husband, wife, brother, sister, brother. But before the word of God fails, heaven and earth will pass away.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it will.
Praise him.
What did Jeremiah lock on to when he was trapped by the rubble of his life. Verses 22 and 23 contain four phrases that help displace despair with renewal.
Yes.
Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed.
We're not.
Why doesn't God destroy us or consume us? Because he could.
Yes.
And oftentimes he probably should.
Come on.
If old preachers used to say, and my granddaddy used to say, if I got what I really deserve.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. For his faithfulness.
Yes.
Thank you.
God is God and we're sinners.
Yes.
Let's be real.
Yes.
God is God.
Yes.
We're sinners.
Yes.
And if it weren't for his love and kindness,
yes,
and his great love,
and great love,
where would we be?
Hallelujah.
And you know, I get so irritated when I see folks looking at other folks like this. Uh-huh. Like the grace and mercy that God has extended to you doesn't extend to the other person on the other side of your pew. Amen. The same grace that is extended to you is extended to everybody else. None of us are worthy. The Bible says we're like filthy rags. The truth of the matter is we all walk closer to the edge than we think.
Yeah.
We really walk closer to the edge than we think. Amen. There's a thin line between disaster and prosperity.
Yeah.
There's a thin line between joy and sorrow. There's a thin line between laughter and tears. There's a thin line between life and death. If you don't believe that, go to work one day. You can go in happy and you can leave in tears. Amen. Go to church happy, you can leave
unhappy.
There's a thin line. And we all walk closer to the edge than we would like to think. Why doesn't God destroy me? The basis for renewed hope is God's great love. The Hebrew definition for love is rich with meaning. It gives the idea of a loyal love. Or a faithful love that will not let go because it does not depend on emotion, but the act of the will. God sticks by his people, period. He sticks by his people. When I started this church, you couldn't get a seat in my dining room.
Come on now.
And my dining room is rather large.
Yes, it is.
People were standing outside, down the hall, and into the den.
Well, all right.
Hallelujah.
See, God sticks by his people.
Uh-huh. Yes,
people come and go.
Yes, they do.
They talk a lot, but it's a thin line.
Hallelujah.
That's
right.
That's the truth.
God loves us because he promised to love us.
He promised.
And there's nothing that will cause him ever to break his promise.
Right.
His covenant-keeping love includes making true the promises that he has made for us to have, but we have to have a relationship.
Yes, a relationship.
You can't love him if you don't know him. Amen. You can't love him. Try to marry somebody you don't love or don't know. How quickly will that end? We should be married to Christ.
Yes.
But you gotta know him.
Gotta know him.
If you know him, you'll know what he can do.
Yes.
If you know what he can do, you'll thank him for it. If you have a thankful attitude, you'll have a praiseful spirit.
Yes.
If you have a praiseful spirit, you will be blessed. Because it says that when blessings are praised, blessings come down. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Second concern in the scripture, God's compassions or mercies. How do I know God will keep on loving me?
Come on, talk.
The second half of verse 22 gives the answer to the question. For his compassions never fail.
Never.
Now, do you notice that the word compassions is plural?
Yeah.
That means there's more than one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That means he is compassionate towards you in whatever area that you need. Because Pastor Carey, your needs are different than mine. Amen. Pastor Watson, your concerns are different than mine. But the compassion of our Lord, come on, and our Savior, it fails not. And whatever I need, I can get it from the Lord. But I've got to know who he is. His mercy is intense and it is limitless. It continually keeps rolling in, wave upon wave, from the very presence of God. And I'm grateful about that. The rivers of God's mercy are consistent. They never stop flowing. They are full and they never ever run dry. The word compassion in Hebrew means womb. And that's shows the gentle feeling of concern and care that God has for us, like a mother has for a child that she's carrying in her womb. The word literally means to be moved in the heart out of love for one another. God's compassion comes from deep within and flows deep within our lives. He is moved in his heart when he thinks about you. Don't you know that when God thinks about you, he gets stirred up? If any of you have made a child, you have made a child, and when you look at them, don't you get stirred up on the inside? Don't you say, that's my baby? That's my son? That's my daughter? Can you imagine what the Lord does inside when he looks at you? So don't let anybody else look at you any kind of way. I'm my daddy's son. Come on now. Great is thy faithfulness. Third point, God helps define when God's great love and compassion reach out to me. Verse 23, the A part, gives a word of hope, which should cause each of us to latch on to the fresh love and compassions of God each and every morning. It says that they are new every morning. Let me ask you a question. If you woke up every morning to find your purse or your wallet full of money, woke up every morning to find your car full of gas and your refrigerator full of food, your youth and vitality fully restored, you would wake up in the next morning with anticipation of what? Another full wallet, another full refrigerator, another full tank of gas, another day that you feel youthful and vitality is restored. You would wake up in anticipation of that, wouldn't you? You would get excited when you wake up in the morning because you know when I go to bed tonight, when I wake up in the morning, everything is going to be all right, and everything that I spent out today is going to be restored to me in the morning. So when you go to bed at night, you ought to go to bed with an anticipation that in the morning, when I rise, everything that I spent out today is going to be restored right to me in the morning, morning by morning. Who mercy. Towel thing in the bathroom is a bottomless pit. You just keep pulling them out. I keep going in there and they're empty. You've got to restore and renew. Amen. But God does it automatically every day. But yet sometimes we find it hard to say thank you. I can't understand that. I'm always telling folks thank you. I don't understand that, how we can't tell the Lord thank you. Especially you spend a day with me, you ought to thank him. You spend a day with me, I've had people come to a funeral, and then on Friday their funeral is being planned.
Come on now.
Let's be real. We got to thank God. He doesn't owe us anything, but morning by morning, he still pays our bill. Morning by morning, he says, you know what? I'm allowing you to see another day. I'm going to see this day. I'm going to give you new stuff, not fresh stuff, not hand-me-downs, not her blessings, but blessings just for you, new every morning. Catch the sunrise in the morning. Have you ever noticed that no two are ever alike? They vary greatly according to each new day.
Yes, it does.
And God's mercies that he extends to us are suited for that day. So the mercies that you get today are not going to be the same ones you had yesterday. Because the trials and tribulations that you face today are going to oftentimes be different from the ones that you faced yesterday. It may come from a different person. Your disappointment may come from another pastor or a different church. But the mercies that you got that morning are suitable for the things that you're going to go through that day. So stop looking to the things that you did yesterday to satisfy the things that you need done today. What you need done today, you got the weapons to deal with them when you got up in the morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Every morning they're renewed. Do you remember the story of God providing manna?
Yes.
for his people when they were in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
God said it every day, except on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
They were instructed to gather as much as they wanted.
Why?
Because it would never run out.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Gather as much of it as you want, because it's never going to run out. They weren't allowed to store it except the day before the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Why weren't they allowed to store it? Because that was for that day.
Yeah.
Amen. So
yeah.
Stop walking on what your grandmother told you. Stop walking on what your granddaddy told
yeah.
you. And start walking in the blessings that the Lord has given you today. I love my grandmother and my grandfather. I love them and I miss them every day. And they gave me a wonderful foundation. But that all it was a foundation. I can't walk and live off of their coattails. Amen. I've got to do my own thing with the blessings that the Lord has given me on this day. In order to drive home his point, God told them if they tried to save it, the maggots would come and destroy it.
That's what he said.
So gather just enough for each day. Eat it that day and then gather no more. He taught them how to trust him.
Yeah.
How to trust him.
Trust.
Because you were going to gather as much as you can in case it don't come tomorrow, right?
Right.
You want to work as much overtime as you can in case you get fired on Monday. But the Bible says, I will supply your every need. Amen.
Yeah.
If you trust him, he will come up. A fresh supply of loyal love and compassion to his people every day. I'm excited about that. You should be excited about that. Every day you get new stuff. Right? I was an only child, so I don't know anything about hand-me-downs, right? But I've heard the stories. I don't have no hand-me-down blessings, and neither do you. Come on, somebody. Last part of verse 23 teaches us that our hope for living, even in the midst of chaos and suffering, great is your faithfulness like the manna in the wilderness. God's supply can never be exhausted. The truth caused Jeremiah to call out in prayer. Great is thy faithfulness. In the beginning, he was upset. And then he focused his mind on truth. And when he got his mind right, his mouth got right. When his mouth got right, he called out to God, great is thy faithfulness. Did you catch that? You got to get your mind right. When you get your mind right, your mouth will get right. Amen, somebody. Jeremiah was rocked by the limitless supply of God's love. When we recall and celebrate his faithfulness, we should do it every day. We get new stuff every day, and every day we ought to thank him. Every day we ought to thank him. Every day we ought to thank him. How refreshing, how wonderful, how encouraging it is to lift up our eyes above the ruin of our situation and say, great is thy faithfulness. See, you know God can be trusted. We said it this morning, it's coming together. God can be trusted. We often exalt his power and his greatness, but we fail to rest in the assurance of his faithfulness.
Yeah.
Now, let's be real. Regardless of the circumstances, we can be sure of the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
I think you missed it. Oftentimes, we exalt God's love.
Hallelujah.
We exalt his power.
Yeah.
We exalt his greatness.
Yeah.
But we drop the ball when it comes to his faithfulness. Why do I say that? Get into a bad situation. We don't start talking about, well, yes, Jesus loves me. He's all powerful. He can do it. But then we try to fix it ourselves.
Well,
it's because we drop the ball on the faithfulness. Jeremiah is the writer of Lamentations. He looked on his beloved Jerusalem and he saw ashes and rubble. Listen, he was writing this in the midst of a turmoil situation. His heart was heavy. The Babylonian armies had destroyed his beloved Zion. Zion was called the city of God. They had taken its inhabitants, the people of God, they had taken them into captivity, and it would have been easy for Jeremiah to question God's faithfulness. But instead, Jeremiah looked to heaven in spite of what his eyes saw and said, great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes you have to look over the rubble and say, great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes when you have to go to the jailhouse and bear your son or grandson out, you can't look at the situation. You have to say, God is in control, and great is thy faithfulness. To say God is faithful is to say that he is consistent in his character. God is holy. Amen. God is merciful and he's true. God is love. What God does is always agreeable with who and what he is. God always acts consistent with his character. And his character never, ever changes. Even when you can't understand the unpleasantness of situations in our lives, we can trust God to help us out. Amen. To God is faithful. And to say God is faithful is to say that he is true to his word. Psalm says, for the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. What God promises, he'll perform.
Yes, he will.
And he really will.
Yes, he will.
He keeps his word.
Yes, he does.
And we should claim his promises.
Yeah.
We walk around sick and broke and beat up. We should claim healing. We should claim healing.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. We should claim
healing.
Healing.
We walk around broken up and sick. Where's Brother Holland? Do you see that man back there? Look at him. Turn around and look at that man right back there. Wave your hand. Wave your hand. You see him? 2 months ago.
Thank you.
He was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. He brought me his doctor's report on his medical proxy. I looked over. He had no idea what he was looking at. And I was looking at him. I had to get up and walk out the room because tears were in my eyes. Stage 4. It went from here down to a lymph node. Talking about, well, there isn't a whole lot we can do but maintain this. We're going to put him on a regimen of chemo. We can't give him any more radiation. But he can't handle the chemo. We're going to just do what we can do. And we brought him down here to the altar.
Yeah.
And we laid hands on him, and we anointed him with oil, because the Bible says that anyone sick among you, come. And we brought him to the altar, and we prayed over him, and the Bible says that you're healed according to the level of your faith. And that brother went back to the doctor last week, and they went to give him chemo. They said, we're going to give you another test. The other test came back and said, we can't find it. We can't even see it. You don't have to come back here for chemo anymore. You have to claim the promise of the Lord. And then you can say, great is thy faithfulness. Goodness. In verse 25, Jeremiah speaks words of great hope Yeah. Hope being the absolute expectation of coming good. The Lord is good to those that wait on him and to the person that seeks him. Yeah. Jeremiah called out in praise, great is your faithfulness. Yeah. He was then taken back by the limitless supply that God's grace offered to him.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I'm done. Those who truly trust God don't complain.
Yeah.
Or even despair when things go wrong. Disobedience to God can cause great pain.
Amen.
I was sharing with somebody on the phone the other night. They kept telling me, they said, you know, I keep getting sick. And I said, you're my friend. Can I share something with you? I said, the Lord has a wonderful work for you to do. You have a beautiful spirit, and there was a tremendous call on your life. But the Lord has to keep putting you down because he's trying to talk to you. And you can't get your attention because you've got one foot in the street and you've got one foot in the church. So the Lord, if you don't have sense enough to put both feet on the right side of the fence, he will lay you down so he can talk to you and get your attention. Amen. And if you're fortunate enough, he will raise you up. I'm not trying to be mean. I am a living witness. Amen. I am 43 years old. In this year, I will be 44, if the Lord allows me to see October. I wasted the first 40 years of my life doing what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, said what I wanted to say, didn't care about nothing but me, did what I wanted to do, went where I wanted to go, and talked to who I wanted to talk to. Amen. And the Lord put me down on my sick bed and filled my body up with cancer to speak to me. And I still wouldn't listen. So he took me down to 68 pounds. Those of you who won't know me on Facebook, look at the picture. Unrecognizable, the color of black licorice.
Come on.
Folks came to visit me in hospice. Amen.
Come on.
And stay long enough to, they brought good clothes with them. They stayed long enough to funeralize me, eat some chicken, and then go on home.
Yeah.
But I woke up.
Yeah.
And I woke up, they transferred me from there to the University of Pennsylvania, and I stayed at the University of Pennsylvania, and ended up walking out, and I've never looked back. Amen. The Lord will put you down to get your attention. It's not about going down, it's about what are you going to do when you get up, because God is faithful.
Yeah.
Our circumstances don't change, but our feelings about them can.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
God is always good. God is always loving.
Loving.
He's compassionate and faithful, and that never changes.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ is the same
yesterday.
Yes. He's the same today,
yes,
and he's the same forever. God, help me out, and I'm done. Whatever hard things we go through, never doubt God's faithfulness. Did you hear me? Whatever hard things you go through, never ever doubt God's faithfulness. Whatever trouble comes your way, never doubt God's faithfulness. Whatever sickness comes into your body, never doubt God's faithfulness. When they talk about you, never doubt God's faithfulness. When they lie on you, never doubt God's faithfulness. Comes one day, never doubt God's faithfulness, because grace is thy faithfulness. Amen, somebody. The hymn writer said, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, and thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been forever and forever and forever, thou will be. Do you believe that this morning? Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer you and to guide you. Do you know Jesus today? He is strength. Yeah. the doors of the house are open. For your privacy, the cameras of the church will pan upwards for your discretion. If you need special prayer, you may come at this time. The altar is open. If you need a church home, we invite you to come and be a part of this body of believers. We've asked the Lord to send laborers into the vineyard. He gave us the vision, and now he is sending the people. So we ask, if you have that on your heart, you may come at this time. Special prayer. If you need a renewing in your spirit, if you need to renew your relationship with Jesus, come. If you don't know Jesus in the full pardon of your sin, come. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Tomorrow is not promised. However the Lord is leading you, you may come at this time. The doors are open.
Thank you.